sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Épisode 196. Never gamble in a game that you can't play. As in, I ain't have jack but a black hat and a knapsack. War scars, stolen cars, and a black hat. Drop that, and now you want me to rap and give? Say something positive? Well, positive ain't where I live. I live right around the corner from West Hell, two blocks from South Shit, and once in a jail cell. The sun never shone on the side of the street seat, and only once or twice a week I would speak. I walked alone. My state of mind was home sweet home. I couldn't keep a girl. They wanted kids with cars of chrome. Some life. If you ain't wear gold, your style was old. And you got more juice and dough for every bottle sold. Hell no. I say there's gotta be a better way. But hey, never gamble in a game that you can't play.
Message.
I said, hey, never gamble in a game that you can't play.
Message.
One last time. Never gamble in a game that you can't play.
Message.
I'm slowing and flowing and going, knowing no one and not now. How will I do it? How will I make it? I won't. That's how. Why me, huh? Beautiful. Before I continue, let me give him a... amazing art by Tretch from Naughty by Nature. Okay. Hey, welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston B. Lebanon. Oh, how about this? Gaston B. Lebanon. 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 Nah, fuck that. Lebanon. All right. Before I continue with the show, just a heads up to whoever clicked on this podcast by mistake. This podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red black, and the red blue. Who's up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on August 15, 2024. Excuse me, Wednesday, August 15, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. You hear me? Fuck you too. All right, it's going to be that kind of episode. Can you feel the heat? Feel the heat? All right. Okay, before I continue, first of all, can you hear that? Can you hear that? That's right. You can't hear shit. Shout out to Reprotect. Shout out to fucking technology. And I figured out how to record an episode and still keep the AC on. So I'm a little comfortable. I'm a little hungry, but I'm a little comfortable. I'm comfortable. So Okay. For the power of editing, you should not hear any AC. If you do hear any AC, then I gotta kick someone's ass. Some YouTuber's ass. All right, okay, focus. All right, before I continue with the show, just to help you new listeners get familiar with my how I do things on my shows. Well, first, greetings. Salutation. Greetings to everyone listening. And two, all right, new listeners, this is what's going to happen. I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Three parts, which I like to call acts. Well, individual acts. So the first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the final act is final thought. Okay, you with me? All right. Now, in the first act, so far, what you've heard is the theme song, the title to today's episode, followed by some poetry, which, God bless, came from Naughty by Nature, Trash from Naughty by Nature. And both the title and today's poetry will relate to the final thought. Okay. And everything after that was salutation, followed by a disclaimer, mainly for white people. You know, I live in a white city, I grew up with white people, so I find myself a lot, and it took me a while to learn that, you know, white people like to get in your shit. Why? Because I blame slavery. All right, okay. With that said, another thing I like to do in the intro is share some quotes. The quotes will also relate to the final thoughts. And the first one goes, it's a classic. It goes, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Kenny Rogers. You know what I mean? Fun fact. Today was actually the first time I heard the full song completely. Like, paid attention to the lyrics and enjoyed and took the time to appreciate the lick. Like, I've heard it before, don't get me wrong, but it was always in the background. It was always like I was listening to it passively. I've heard it on Wyclef. He remixed it on his one of his albums, I forget. But yeah, man, this is some great writing, man. Great classic writing. I don't know, maybe I'm getting older. I'm learning to appreciate other music. All right, second quote goes, when you're different, sometimes you don't see the millions of people who accept you for what you are. All you notice is the person who doesn't. And Jodi Picoult. Yeah, shout out to her. Shout out to Jodi Picoult. I'm saying her, but you know, I don't, okay, whatever. Okay. Last quote goes, if you haven't confidence in self, you are twice defeated in the race of life. With confidence, you have won before you have started. Marcus Garvey. Again, I'll elaborate in the final thought. Okay, with that said, this completes the first act. Let's switch to the second act and get this show going, all right? What is it? What did I say? Episode 196. I did say episode 96, right? Yeah, 196. All right? Okay, let's do this. All right, okay. This is going to be a good show, man. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. All right, okay. Did I tell you yesterday, just a random conversation, is I went swimming. I went lap swimming. I finally convinced myself to get my ass off the couch, get in the car. Well, sorry, pack my bag, get in the car, drive to the local pool area. And I tried out the lane swimming. It was kind of fun. But next time, bring goggles, man. I understand why people bring goggles. So I'll bring goggles and maybe some flip-flops, but the frog feet? Is that what you call them? Whatever. They flip-flop? Whatever. Yeah. To swim, to enjoy. Ooh, I wonder if there's like waterproof ear headphones. That would be amazing. But okay. Okay. As you can tell, I have difficulty focusing on this conversation. A lot of people tell me that when they're talking to me. All right, okay, next item I have. For those of you following me on Twitter, you may have noticed that I've been posting the logo for the podcast with captions about testing this, testing that. And I'm just in the middle of trying to fix the way my logo. If you notice when I post the episode, my logo's cut off. And I've been ignoring it, and I'm looking at it going, you know what? If that's kind of bad. Kind of like a turnoff, if you will, right? Look, one thing I appreciate about this podcast is I enjoy finding ways to improve things. Anyway, so I'm trying to fix it, and it turns out after doing some research, turns out that the way to fix that is I need to fix my SEO tool that I use for my website. Apparently the setting is in there in the way. Anyway, so I've been playing with resizing the image, and now I just need to get Twitter to say, hey, asshole, use this smaller image instead of this big ass image. But anyways, to be continued, all right? This concludes nerd talk. All right, next I have on the agenda. Okay. Again, random thought. This all comes from shit that I just find on the internet, and I'd like to share with you. This one really got my attention. I called it. I got off Reddit, and it's called Trump's Handshake, and it's Let me close this around. So, I mean, you can't see it, but again, links are in the show notes, and it's labeled under Trump's Handshake, and it just shows like a. His handshake are weird. It's kind of weird. And the way I could describe it, can't see the video if I have a chance, right? It's like I imagine he does the firm handshake thing, but he pulls the person towards him. And it's weird, but it had me thinking about, is this his attempt at a power move? Like, I don't know what's going through his mind, but it wouldn't surprise me if in his book, The Art of the Deal, or at a young age, he was taught, okay, whenever doing business with someone, show them how big your dick is, meaning assume dominance. And it had me thinking about how growing up, when I think of the business world, part of the reason why I never saw myself as a businessman or a leader is because I grew up in the generation of being an asshole, meaning part of being a good businessman is leaving with a win-lose outcome. Being in a situation where after the interaction, you gain, they lose. Whether it's with women, whether you're playing these hoes, whether you're conning someone out of their money. Like, that was the ideal businessman. And that was not my forte, you know. Again, I'm a big fan of, for those who don't know, big fan of the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And there was a part where he talks about how there was a part where the author Stephen Covey discusses how he implores, but a new paradigm of dealing with people. It's like win-win. Think win-win. Actually, think win-win is actually the fifth habit. Let me confirm that. Think. God damn it. Work with me, man. People are listening. Okay. Think win-win. That is the fourth habit. Ha, shame on me. Yeah. Fourth habit is think win-win. Third habit is time management one. Okay. Yeah. Surprised I still remember. So fourth habit is focus on win-win. And I remember reading that and It was a fascinating chapter. Think win-win. There is a content creator who I follow. You know what? I think I'm going to put... Okay, let me see if I can find her link, first of all. Content creator on TikTok, and she was talking about how... forget her name. It's just a random person that... It's only now. It just hit my memory. But she was talking about power, and she was... Yeah, she was talking about how these Olympian athletes, Simone Biles, and how they... The idea of sharing, not just sharing power, but also she was talking about win-win. She didn't use the word win-win, but she was talking about win-win, about how what most of us grew up with the idea of zero-sum game. If you win, I lose. If I win, you lose. And how we can more moving towards the notion, the idea of a world where we all focus on each other's game. Win-win, essentially, win-win. It's like, if you, when you think, I love this analogy that she used. This is why she came. That's why I'm thinking about this lady. And she was talking about is if you turn on one light and you turn on a second light, it doesn't dim the other light. It just makes shit brighter. Get it? And what's fascinating about in the book Seven Habits, when he talks about the fourth habit, and he talks about how a lot of people don't see this as being realistic. It's not a realistic view of the world. And he goes, "Damn, that's the part we got to fight. That's why it's a habit." We're so used on, some of us are so used on just when you're dealing with another human being, the outcome should be win-lose. And others, such as myself, just through low self-esteem, grew up that, or just told themselves that, yeah, whatever outcome you go through, it's going to be lose-win. Whether you're out of convenience for the other person or just out of straight lack of belief, lack of confidence, message in yourself. So yeah, I thought that was fascinating. Okay, hold on a second. Here's something interesting. I just, despite the fact that I turned on the AC, my eyes are drying up again. I don't know what that's about. Okay. All right. Ain't complain about, hold on. Let me just make sure that I turn on my, yeah, this is a lot of details you guys don't need to hear. All right. Okay. Whatever. All right. Okay. Win-win. That's what I was talking about. Conclude. Win-win, kids. Win-win. Again, I don't preach. Did that sound like preaching? That was not my. I'm sharing thoughts, man. I'm sharing a random thought message. All right, okay. Let's move to the next item on the agenda. Yeah, okay. Or Trump's handshake. Yes. Let me conclude. Trump's handshake feels like an old school view of the world. Like, sure. Assuming dominance, then that means you get to treat the other person like a bitch. But if you can't assume dominance, then I guess you're forced to work out a win-win solution. Yeah, I guess that's his point. He goes, if he can tell, well, I think it's two things. I think his handshake is both, I need to feel dominant in a conversation. Whether it's with a man or a woman, whether it's with my wife or my kids, I need to feel like I'm the top dog in this conversation. I need to feel like I'm the smartest person in this situation. That's one. Ego. His ego needs to feel like he's dominant. Two, I understand how if you show up to, let's say, bargaining with someone. If I'm bargaining with someone and I can tell that I have all the advantages, I have, I believe the expression is, I have the high card in this conversation. I'm telling myself, I'm not the type to take advantage of the situation, but I ain't going out like a little bitch. It's like, I'm trying to think of a situation where, like, I wouldn't, hey, you drop your wallet. Hey, I gain your wallet. No, that doesn't work that way, man. Here's your wallet. Ma'am, sir, whatever. It's yeah. Anyways, I got to think this one through, man. I got to write it through is I don't believe in taking advantage of people. I don't believe in doing things to others that I would like to that I would allow them to do to me. But I remember this one time I was arguing, yeah. I think the best I could think about is I was, this was a long time ago. I was arguing with one of my younger cousins, and this motherfucker was talking sideways, and he had no idea how much I just wanted to give in to my temper and beat the shit out of him, but I held back. I mean, something felt wrong. That see, you know, people who. Write checks that their mouse can't cash. Their mouse write checks that they can't cash. How's the expression? But it did feel good to be like in a position of, yeah, talk your shit. I mean, your words are saying anything, but the math says I have all the advantage. It did feel good, but I didn't take advantage of the situation. I just. How did it end? I think we just went, yeah, we walked, yeah, we just, we pretty much didn't play. Agreed to disagree. Anyways, Trump's handshake is weird. That's where this is the conclusion to to this whole, my whole point is, it's weird. Okay, next item. Hold on, next item is make sure. All right, okay, first, okay, you know what? I'm going to change things around here just a bit there. I'm going to keep this one short because I'm realizing that I don't think I can contribute anything intelligent to this conversation, but I still feel the need to talk about it. So you all know, most of you should know that Kamala Harris is now the candidate running for president. And which, you know, I'm all for it. I talked about it in a previous episode, and I'm like, yo, man, I understand American politics. Her being president, it's like, or any president, Obama, all of them, man. It's like a pageant to me. It's like a beauty pageant. Because when they become president, they're not going to change the nature of their country. They can't. They're not, they can't, man. They, you know, fucking talk to JFK about that shit. They're going to get in there and do their thing. This ain't my version of politics doesn't, I mean, voting doesn't change thing. It's more, okay, let me just get to my point here is, what's inspired this conversation, and I put the link in the show notes, is these content creators on TikTok. It started with this one woman, actually, who, what's her name? You know what? If I find it, let me play this clip. And it goes, let me find this clip. I'm usually prepared. This one woman on the internet, let me get to the point. She started talking. There's a lot of content creators speaking against people who are voting for Kamala. Excuse me, let me back up. There are a lot of pro-Palestine supporters supporting content creator who are talking shit against people who are going to vote for Kamala Harris. I believe some of them are like one-issue voters or whatever, but their idea, their solution to the Palestine conflict is to sit out this election. And now, first I want to start by saying that I really want... Okay, here, a better clip is... I'll add to it, right? There's another video of Kamala Harris at a function, and I guess she's being heckled, protested by some pro-Palestinian supporters. And she said, and she looks at him directly, and she said, look, man, if you want Trump to win, keep at... You know, no, she said the... Look, man, just be honest with what you're saying. If you're just trying to say you want Trump to win, then just say so. If not, I'm talking now. Now, a lot of these, some of these pro-Palestine supporters took it as an insult, took it as a, oh, you don't care about Palestine. And this is why I'm just sharing my views in this one, right? And this is, share my view. Okay, I'll be honest with you, man. I do support Palestine. Palestine should be free and all that, right? But I disagree with this idea that, oh, sitting out on an election. Now, I am not an American citizen. This issue will come up in Canada too. But I disagree with the notion of sitting out on this election. And this is, I guess, the grand point that I'm trying to make is like, look, Black people in general have always been pro-Palestine, have had an affinity to their struggle. And I support, I'm going to focus on the Black women, specifically the Black women. The Black women who are saying, I am voting for Kamala Harris. I'm defending the Black women who have, Black American women who will be voting for Kamala Harris while being pro-Palestine. Now, the people who are attacking them have some goddamn nerves. A lot of them just showed up to this whole struggle. A lot of them just, I'm generalizing, okay, let me back up, okay, because let's say you're not one of those people who just showed up to the, I think what I'm trying to say is, do not vilify them for voting Kamala. my argument or my point that I'll make in there is, going back to the point, is our prime minister, the president, they're not as powerful as we think they are. Our countries, sure, we might be considered developed countries, but to me, the fact that all these assholes are like supporting Israel during a goddamn genocide. Our prime minister, 7 days after our Truth and Reconciliation Day, talking about, yes, we need to learn from our past. We're on unceded territory. Oh my God, the crimes of the past and blah, blah, blah. 7 days later, they're like, yeah, we support Israel's rights to defend themselves. The fact that it's a glaring contradiction tells me there's something bigger to it. Tells me that, and I'm a guy who likes to look at system and how things are working. It tells me that the fact that these politicians are willing to go on record and say some pro-Israel shit tells me them motherfuckers got them by the balls. And what I'm saying is, you cannot be a leader in this free country. Like, even both American options are pro-Israel. And what I'm saying is, yeah, I guess the lesser of two evils. I'm trying to say, look, man, you're in a fucking country that ain't as powerful as you think they are. Okay, again, I'm theorizing. This is all the theory. I'm going with the fact, okay, but going on history, I talked about this in a previous episode about how in England, slavery was abolished. When slavery was abolished in England, they compensated slave masters for their troubles. And it tells me that that's the world that we live in. And what I'm saying is, on our journey to a free Palestine, I don't think this shit ends with Israel saying, yeah, okay, what we're doing is wrong. Nah, evil people don't work. You know what Israel is doing, what they're doing? Bottom line, because they fucking can. They got the power to do it because they can. And they got the power to do it, and they figured out how to get people to stay the fuck out of their way. That's what should be attacked. That you want someone, my justification for voting for someone like Kamala Harris is the fact that between Trump and her, I believe she's the one person in the room who's saying, okay, look, all right, you've killed X amount of people. Don't you think it's enough? Shut the fuck up. You down or not? I think what I'm just trying to say, I don't think it's as simple as the people not voting. You're not doing yourself a service. You're part of the problem, man. It's like that saying that goes, either lead, follow, or shut the fuck up. Excuse me. No, actually, let me be kinder. It's like lead, follow. If you're not part of the problem, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. That's what I'm saying. I can empathize. I feel compassion. I understand those of you who are looking at these atrocities being committed, and you're like protesting. You're like out there on the streets. You're like making your voices heard. Right? That's your strategy. But sitting out on an election, the Titanic is heading towards the fucking sitting out on the, it's like the Titanic is heading towards the iceberg, and your solution is, I'm taking my Jesus, take the wheel. Okay, I'm saying, and at the risk of sounding disrespectful, is I think it's irresponsible to not take part in the election. I think it's a... Who do you think is the worst? I think your choice is... That's what we mean by making tough decisions. I think your choices are between the person who's going to make it worse and the person... The person's going to make it worse and the person who won't. Okay. Let's get back to Canada. Let's take Justin Trudeau, for example. Part of why I voted for him, I had no illusion that when he was going to come in there, he was going to make some decisions that was going to, I was going to hate. He's going to make some decision that would make me, I would feel betrayed by. But I believe part of his job is flipping the coin on who am I pissing off to? Who can I afford to piss off? Part of the job is making those kind of decisions. I got a shitty option. I got another shittier option. Which one between the two do I pick? That's the fucking job. That's the job. And I guess what I'm hoping is, I like this analogy I heard is it's like, think of the yo-yo going up and down. Okay. And the up and down is good decision, bad decision, good decision, bad decision. I trust the people who I vote for. I trust them to be sure you're going up and down with the yo-yo, but you're walking up some stairs. That's how I look at the big picture. I guess that's the bottom line is look at the big fucking picture. And if you can't, at the very least, shut the fuck up. Leave the people who know who are looking at the big picture and let them do what they need to do. Yeah, man. Yeah, there's a lot of rant on the internet about... a lot of rant. But there's one I listened to recently. If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes. This one woman, she was saying, yo, she was talking about how I'm pissed off at you single-issue voters with the nerves to tell people who are voting for Kamala that, oh, I guess you're not supporting Palestine. The same way you do that, I can say, well, because you don't say shit about the Congo, I guess you're not supporting Congo. Here's the real truth. The real goddamn truth. None of us are doing anything. All I'm doing, I'm a dude behind a podcast. I'm not a soldier. Sure, I've donated to the cause, but I don't even know if the donation went to the right person. I've donated to the cause, but... You know, I guess I'm saying, look, if you're not going to vote for Kamala, what exactly is your plan? Because you know the other option is a lot worse. The other option is you'll be lucky if he allows you to get internet feed of what's going on in there. You'll be lucky if he doesn't turn that shit on. It's like, yeah, do what you need to do. I'll shut these niggas up over here. I'm going to make it a little more difficult for them to help their... And whatever, man. I guess what I'm saying is, before you diss the people who... look, what's your plan? What exactly is your plan? I think this is the bigger point to the people who don't vote, who say voting doesn't matter. What exactly is your plan? I'm saying, look, man, if you're not about the ballot, motherfucker, you better be about the bullet. You better be on the streets. And because I can't fight, I got to rely on voting of the voting system. I'm in bad shape. I just went to the pen, whatever. Yeah. I just realized, I knew when I was going to tackle on this point, when I was going to make this point, it's one of those points that, yeah, I'm taking a risk. I know I'm taking a risk because it's not fully developed. I feel what I'm trying to say. But when it comes to articulating, it's not something that I would say on a podium because it would just, it's okay. My intention was to be like on one end, I wish I could say, okay, guys, we're both down with supporting Palestine. Where's the common ground? But I am also saying, don't diss the people who have chosen to support a leader they believe won't make the situation worse. Because that's exactly what they're doing. We're voting. We're choosing. Okay, because I guess in Canada, as in Canada, we have a three-party system. And we got other parties, but they're useless, right? But the two people who go neck and neck is usually liberal and the conservatives. Conservatives haven't expressed their views about Palestine, but something tells me like that's only because they know that it's an unpopular view. If I'm voting liberal, despite the fact this asshole has said some, hey, we support Israel's rights too, I believe that, look, I gotta play this fucking game, man. If you were in his shoes, if you saw what he saw, you'd be making the same decision. You'd be saying the same shit. Whatever. It's only in the movies where the hero says, hey, what you're doing is morally wrong. Stop it. Okay, let's stop it. The world doesn't work that way. No, the world is ugly. If I've become cynic, it's because part of it is just realizing how fucked up and ugly the world we live in. And I'm trying to keep my head high. All right. Okay. The only thing I've accomplished is I feel like I've just said what I needed to say. And if it makes sense to someone, if it makes sense to someone, then yeah. If not, if it only sounded like you're saying, oh, well, sounds like you're saying you're not supporting Palestine, then yeah, you missed my point. You and I should not be in a conversation together. Like, I don't know how to make, I need to work on making my message more clear. I guess that's it. That's it. All right. Okay. Now, this is the reason why I skipped this, because I knew it was going to be a long point, right? I'm going to go to this next one here is, I need to take back what I said about Reagan. Reagan, who's Reagan? The female Australian breakdancer who made a fool out of herself. Now, initially on the last episode, I was reading an article where it says she was defending herself. And turns out she's not who I thought she was. And I'm going to play this clip by a content creator on TikTok. And her name is The Gardening Theologian. The Gardening Theologian. And this is the, okay, first thing first, right? People I don't fuck with are articulate black women. Articulate black people, period. There's a dude who can kick my ass, but there's articulate black folks. And homegirl, by the time she was done, okay, I'm going to play this 3-minute, 14-minute clip about her part, speaking about Reagan, because it was all fun and games, but by the time she was done, I was like, yeah, I feel fucked with, okay? All right, here we go.
Okay, by now, many of us have seen this nonsense. Let's talk about Rachel Gunn, whiteness in academia. I have my undergraduate degree from Berkeley in American Studies, my master's from Harvard in Religious Studies, and I've written a ton of work critiquing academia and whiteness. One of the articles being not just the syllabus, throw the whole discipline in the trash. And in this, I talk about how, you know, professors create white scholars that go on to produce work that is voyeuristic, problematic, and harmful in communities of color. Something I say in this article is I watched in horror as emboldened white students completely butchered black and people of color religious phenomenon in my classes. Wow. And I watched how my professors did not correct these errors. And I said, white academia is stuck in a fruitless cycle of producing white scholars who know nothing about anything except whiteness, but believe they know so much more. The arrogance is dangerous and the lack of breadth of knowledge constitutes intellectual negligence. The reality is Rachel Gunn did not do her due diligence to become a great breakdancer, and even her scholarship is fraught. Let's look at some of the excerpts from her work. Now, Rachel Gunn wrote a piece called The Ethics of Living a Double Life, Rethinking Ownership, Authenticity, and Identity in Hip-Hop Culture. And I want to highlight the only reason she sees hip-hop as a double life is because of her whiteness. Mm. And throughout this piece, she only mentions black, the word black, one time, which shows that she kind of extricated hip-hop and breakdancing out of black culture and made it an art form divorced from blackness. And this is already deeply problematic. Now, in many ways, this piece reads as a white woman's lamentations about not being fully accepted into hip hop or breaking culture. Mm. And she even says, you know, I have to confess that I'm not always B-girl Ray Gun every second of the day. And this is merely part of my life that I move in and out of, that I recalibrate my body and my mind to move across different social spheres. What she doesn't realize is this very recalibration is white privilege. The ability to move in and out of being affiliated with hip hop and then not affiliated with hip hop is white privilege. The ability to claim an identity within hip hop when it serves you and then move into your whiteness when it doesn't serve you is white privilege. She even says that confessing this means that she might impact her street credentials or her reputation. And she says, what are the consequences of such a confession? Are we voyeurs? Are we culturally appropriating hip hop? Do we exploit hip hop for our own personal pleasure? Ironically, the answer to every single question she asks is yes. It is voyeuristic to produce so much research about breakdancing and hip-hop without ever centering Black voices. I haven't seen Black voices centered in her scholarship and research. There could be other papers that do so, but what I've seen has not centered Black voices, Black communities, and particularly it has not centered U.S. Black culture, which it needs to. Dance ethnography is a type of study, and the ethnographic aspect of her research is sorely lacking. The reality is, we live in a world where Dr. Claudine Gay was forced to step down from her position at Harvard people thought her academic research was not rigorous enough. And this woman who produced poor academic research was able to use that as a springboard to get to the Olympics. This is where we see racial inequality and systemic inequality at play within academia and the broader world. And I'll leave you all with a question that I ask in my article, Not Just the Syllabus, Throw the Discipline in the Trash, which is, why are expectations for white scholars who have access to so many resources so low? And thank you all so much for watching. My name is Ciara. I'm a change management consultant and a theologian. So follow me for more content like this.
Thank you, Ciara. Hey, while she was talking, I remembered how I picked this topic. What inspired me to share this clip? It's because it's not just Reagan. Before Reagan, I had this comedian who I was following, white comedian I follow for Canadian, white Canadian comedian, who, you know what? I'm going to call him a Joe Rogan wannabe. Okay, I'll be fair. Okay, no, I'm going to give this white boy the benefit of the doubt, right? I believe this comedian, I follow because every once in a while he's got some funny clips. And, you know, and I tend to follow, you know, Canadian comedians, right? But every once in a while, not off, sometimes he'll make clips that, oh, fuck you, asshole. And this one that he recently did, basically it was a joke about, it was an attempt at humor. It was him express, basically poking fun at code switching. At Black people who code switch. Initially he started the clip as him making fun of, he called it, how Kamala Harris speaks Black with other Black people and how he could do that. And the whole video is him talking to, finding Black people, and he switches it up. He goes, hey dog, you know, and all that shit. And I was triggered, man. I'll be honest. I was triggered. It reminded me when I'm in the office, and, I have this thing where, again, survival mode when I'm in the office with white people is I make white people feel very comfortable around me. Problem with that is sometimes it gets too comfortable and they get over familiar with me. So they see me and then they feel the need to switch up the use slang on me. And at first I thought it was funny, it was cool. But then I found out how they weren't taking me seriously intellectually. So I played myself. But that's another conversation, right? What bothered me, I was triggered by his joke because all it did is reminded me of every time a white person, like I said, I grew up around white people, right? And then, and actually, I grew up with white people who had no business interacting with Black people. So, who I should not have called friends. And I say this because my Blackness to them made me an other. For them, like I was an other, and anything Black, they never took seriously. Anything that from a Black perspective, they didn't bother looking at it from that perspective. It was always either a punchline or something not to be taken seriously. I after hearing this sister talk, Sierra speak, it reminded me of, I think the word I want to use is, I got it from X-Clan, is trespassing on most sacred ground. That joke homie was making about code switching insulted me, and I didn't know why. And I had to fight the urge to reply to this guy and be like, oh, this is stupid. Or, you know, just being like, being a the heckler at the club. But I chose to, I respect his space. It's I believe this is his truth. I don't like it. It's his truth. And instead of replying to him, because he's not going to take my feedback and be like, oh, I never looked at it that way. Now he's likely just going to dismiss it as, you blacks. You blacks. Who knows what they're going to take offensively? Who knows what's going to offend them? Like, he has his audience. And, you know, he's got a shitload of followers. He has his audience. He knows what that shit makes him laugh. So instead of getting angry at him, I just unfollowed the guy. It's no love lost because, you know, he wasn't following me. But I just, basically, I chose to just ignore the noise. That's pretty much it. For my own mental health, ignore the noise. I would, honestly, in an ideal situation, I would have loved to been able to. What I appreciate about that piece is the honesty in there. But I wish I would have been able to share my honesty about it and build from that. But yeah, so instead, yeah, chose to ignore the noise. And yeah, I know, it gets back to, so I'm already annoyed by that joke. And then when I heard this sister speak about Reagan, it's all the same thing. It's just white people taking black culture, appropriating black culture, and just dismissing it as, like, to them, and this is another thing about growing up in Ontario, it's like nothing black people do deserve to be treated as sacred. Whatever they consider sacred, to them, it's just toilet paper. It's just something that doesn't deserve their respect. It's always bothered me that how our humanity as black people is an option for them. Like, they don't have to respect our humanity. They don't have to acknowledge it. A white person could still survive. I, on the other hand, I'm in a position where I have to acknowledge their humanity. I'm talking shit about white people on this podcast, but I'm not doing it, ever doing it in a way where I'm talking about the idea of a white person, not actual individuals. In no way, all the disrespect that I do about white people, I'm never dehumanizing them. If I'm dehuman, maybe I'm the Klansman, white supremacist, because we're clearly enemies. I'm at war with these people. Let's not kid ourselves. There's no such thing as a good racist. There's no such thing as a good, there's no such thing as a good person who doesn't acknowledge your humanity. I wish I could find a cool world to say. Not, we are at war, a la Sister Soldier. I do not kid myself about that shit. Anyway, yeah, so all this to say, I'm making the link between what Reagan did in disrespecting breakdancing, put on some mediocre, like, at first I thought she was just another person, just look, this is my, like, I bought into that shit, this is just my art. Only later to find out that, nah, I mean, it's your art, but it's like built on, it's your art, like burning a cross is an art. It's an art to the Klansman, to the Ku Klux Klan. It's self-expression. Yes, you did express something. Part of that expression is, fuck y'all niggas. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. If I was on the Black Guy Who Tips podcast and Reagan, yeah, Jakars. Okay, I won't say Jakars, but nah, fucking Jakars. Because I don't like being fucked with. I feel fucked with at, like, don't get me wrong, I'm still laughing at Reagan's performance, but I'm also saying, do you really give a fuck about black people? You know what I mean? Was that performance your way of saying, I don't have to put my art into it. I don't have to show any respect to, I don't have to show any appreciation to this shit. Yeah, it was disrespectful. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It was disrespectful. A la Rakim. You could get smacked for that. I ain't no joke. All right. Okay. I think that's it. Okay. Yeah. No, let's, how much time did I spend? Yeah. Okay. That's it, man. Let me, okay. One last clip I'm going to play for you is, it goes, black man invented the traffic light and the white man invented. Okay, some words of wisdom, some party wisdom before we switch it up. Here we go.
Ho, say it one more time.
Black man invented the stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
White man invented a ticket.
Mm.
There we go. All right. You heard that? He said, black man invented the traffic light. White man invented the ticket. Let it marinate. Let that shit marinate.
Message.
All right. Okay. Links are in the show notes. You can let you entertain yourself. All right, let's switch it up to final thoughts, the final act, and then get the fuck out of here. All right, okay, let's do this. What's up with today's title? Where was I going? The message you came for is okay. So, needless to say, the title "Never Gamble on a Game That You Can't Play" comes from a verse by Tretch from Naughty by Nature from his track Ghetto Bastard, or Everything's Gonna Be Alright. What's the title of that song? Naughty by Nature, Everything's Gonna Be Alright, in brackets, Ghetto Bastard. And the reason I thought of that title is because I was in therapy. What inspired me to pick this title and also think about the concept, well, to pick this title is because, bear with me, I'm trying to make sense out of it, but it's going to make sense at some point. All right. At my last therapy session, I was explaining how I was shocked at myself that I told you last on a previous episode how a voice, I was beating myself up. I was in the middle of beating myself up like I tend to do. And a voice came up and said, hey, B, go easy on yourself. That version of you that's out there that you're disappointed in is just trying to keep you alive. And I told her that. Told that to my therapist, and she was celebrating. She's like, you said that? Oh my God! And like, bing, 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 pow, 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 pow. I think for her, she looked at it as, oh, finally, this fucking nigga gets it. All right. Finally understanding. And she made a big deal out of it. But she said two words after that. Oh, okay. Well, actually, it was longer than that. But the one that stuck to me the most is she said, dude, she doesn't say dude, but I'm paraphrasing, right? She said, dude, you should learn to trust yourself. She didn't say those words, but essentially the two words that stuck was trust yourself. And I remember something in my brain exploded. It's like, what the fuck is she talking about? Trust yourself? I trust anything except myself. That's how I've lived my life. And as I was absorbing those words, okay, now I remember. As I was absorbing those words of trust yourself, the line from Naughty by Nature, never gamble on a game that you can't play. Now, the reason why I thought about that lyric is because I have been trusting myself. Slowly but surely. Not I'm not fully self-confident, but it's starting to grow like the seed was planted and it's starting to, you know, I should grow a plant, but it's starting to grow. The seed of self-confidence is slowly starting to grow. It's just a little like bulge. It's like a bourgeon. It's just a little, you know, in a plant. They grow, and it's just starting to grow out. You just see a little green out of the brown dirt. It's not a big ass plant. It's just a little out of the flu. And what I'm saying is, part of how I know I've been trusting myself is I used to get disappointed when, okay, this is exactly what happened. Let me just be more specific. My thought was, I used to disappoint every time I would lose a game, lose an argument, for example. Okay. What happened is, the situation at work, And I was making a point to two of my colleagues, and they disagreed with my point. No, it's not that they disagreed with my point. Is as I was going back and forth with them, I'm realizing that they don't understand the point that I'm trying to make. They're not hearing the point that I'm trying to make. And instead of like raising my voice, instead of getting impatient, instead of like finding ways, creative ways to, okay, maybe if I explain it this way, they'll understand. I went silent. I stopped talking. I'm like, And it was, and it's something that I've been doing lately. It's basically, I've established that as soon as I realize that you're unwilling or unable to hear what I got to say, I stop. Because I'm realizing, okay, this is just pointless. You've made your point. You've decided what you're going to be, and you're going to stop. Before, I was always angry at the fact that I can't get, I would cry, I can't get them to understand what I'm saying. But I've made space. I've made space for the reality that sometimes motherfuckers are just not going to get it. I've accepted that. I'm like, okay, this is my way of saying I've stopped gambling in games that I knew I wasn't going to win. This person is not looking for a mutual beneficial outcome. Stop playing. Stop. And I'm learning to trust myself in that. Before, I would have been like, no, please, what the fuck? You know, like, kept at it. And what I'm realizing is that some people have used that shit to their advantage. It's like they see me. It's like they're like putting a carrot in on top, like getting me to jump. Hey, you want the carrot? The carrot that I'm trying to reach at is, well, maybe at some point they'll understand what I'm trying to say. I stopped talking. I just, it's like, you are not worth my time. The fact that I've learned to trust myself in that, it's like, you don't need to, okay, let me, you don't need to impress these people anymore. The fact that I stopped doing myself is a point for me. I, okay, another example I could use is I used to date this woman who, a long time ago, I should say girl, because we were both young, and it was a fucking red flag relationship. It was a shitty relationship, right? And she used to say shit like, I need to be with a man who could put me in my place. Now, all me knows that that's a red flag. Walk the fuck away. Young me took that as a challenge. Young me told me that, okay, look, if I do this right, if I manage to figure out this Da Vinci code, you'll finally behave. I'll finally have you in your control. It's as if she knew that my ego, it's like, in order for me to be a real man, I need to put this chick in her place. And she knew that, I think it was part of the charm, and she knew that carrot. It was like, I'm dangling the carrot in front of me. As soon as you figure out how to put me in my place, I'm going to give you everything you want from me. And the lack of confidence, the low self-esteem in me, it was like, as soon as I can figure out how to put her in her place, that's all the validation. I'll give you the validation that you seek. Because that's what I was doing it for. Now, no, I did not put my hands on this woman. But I did. But it was actually kind of funny when you think about it. There was the one time I attempted to be assertive. I said, okay, look, damn it, woman. I said, we're watching Matlock. And she cussed me the fuck out. She like, okay, some men use intimidation and some women use insult, voice, and tone. It was like, I was outmatched by this woman. Like, every time it's like, look, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to diss your mom. I'm imitating her. I didn't mean to disrespect your mom, disrespect your country, disrespect your who you are as an entity, but it's your fault for not putting me in my place. That was the game we played. Like, I was outmatched by this person. But I felt that at some point, I was going to be able to control her and get her to treat me like a boyfriend deserves to be treated. There was no chance of that. And she knew that. She had no intention of respecting. I was anyway, whatever. But my the reason why I kept playing this game, that I, the reason why I allowed myself to play a game that I was going to lose is because A, my ego refused to accept that I could lose. Like, my masculinity depended on it. That's the game. The game is dominance. But she was she was going to win this fight in any ways. And I kept... it wasn't a relationship. If you're in a relationship and you're constantly fighting for validation, for respect, for... It's not a... It's a toxic relationship. But again, at the time, I was too young to see it. Didn't have the confidence, didn't have the trust in myself to know that, yo, this is bullshit. B, you deserve better. Guess my point is growth. I grew from that. My point is it took me a while to realize to stop playing games, stop gambling in games. You know you're not going to win it. Last point I'm going to make, the reason why I shared that Kenny Rogers quote is what I love about that line is when he says, you got to know, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. For me, what I love about that line, it's not just about knowing when to hold them, when to fold them. It's not just enough about that. It's also enough to be, to trust that voice to say, yo, times, let's go. Okay, fold them. Trusting yourself. Trusting that gut that tells you, oh my God, am I preaching? God damn it. Am I preaching? Again, I guess I might be preaching. But it might sound like I'm preaching. It's not my intention. I'm just, if I'm preaching, I'm preaching to myself. I'm talking to myself. And I'm talking to that plant inside of me that's growing, that seed that I planted called self-trusting myself, confidence, self-confidence, that's slowly growing. And I'm saying, I'm learning, I'm on a journey, I'm still on that journey to learning to trust myself. You know what? I would love to hear from other people who can relate, who know what the fuck I'm talking about. Seriously, hear back from people like that. And what's your journey like? You're journeying into trusting yourself. I would love to hear about the progress you've made, the things you've learned, and wisdom that you might want to share with me. All right, maybe we could have an exchange. But until then, never gamble in a game that you can't play, boys and girls. All right, hang on to that. All right, okay. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Excuse me. This concludes this second bun episode of Shut Up Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it with the AC on. And yeah, man, like always, man, holler at me. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Yeah, it's a lot of good shit on the internet. Like everything that I, all the links that I share on the page for this episode, it's all links that inspired the shit that I talked about today. Well, most of it. Yeah. Or things that I think you'll find interesting. All right. Okay. That's it for me, man. Let me wrap this up and say thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.